What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I bring you greetings from Trinity Episcopal Church in Southport, where I serve as the Associate for Youth and Family Ministries. I know some of you, but for those who I don't know, I was a member of St. Thomas's here in New Haven for the 3 years that I was attending Yale Divinity School, and also did my parish internship here, sang in the choir, and it is a great joy to be back here with you this morning. So thank you, Carrie, for having me. In the beginning. Thanks to the King James Bible, these are some of the most famous words in the English language. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It conjures up an image of primordial chaos, an unformed void, a nothingness that God comes to and not only organizes, but makes good. In the beginning is the language of creation. And so it is no accident then that the prologue to John's Gospel steals this language outright to tell us exactly what it thinks about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. All of creation, it says, and all of its goodness came to us through the Word. The Word was there at the very beginning, like the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. This word, a translation of the Greek word logos, isn't just a thing that is spoken, but it is the very pattern upon which all of creation rests. It is the thing that makes us who and what we are. And then, as if this idea isn't amazing enough, John's Gospel goes a step further in what might be one of the most important verses in the entire New Testament. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The pattern of creation, the thing that makes us who and what we are, became human itself and dwelled among us. In the person of Jesus, the Word walked our streets. He knew our joys and our pains. He suffered death and was raised to new life. The Word became flesh and shared our humanity. And because of that, we humans have the chance to share in God's divinity, so that God's light might give us life. The themes of light and life feature prominently throughout John's Gospel. As commentator Robert Redman says, these twin themes are not simply a poetic piling on of images, but rather they are carefully chosen to communicate the reality of divine revelation and reconciliation that is mediated to humanity through the incarnate Word. Well, all of that sounds very grand, but what does it mean? What might that reconciliation look like? I have one example for you. This last Wednesday afternoon, I was able to see the Broadway revival production of Once on This Island, which is one of my very favorite musicals. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend that you run to it before it closes a week from today. And fair warning, I'm about to spoil its plot for you, but given that the show is 30 years old, I think its statute of limitations on spoilers has expired. At its heart, Once on This Island is a Caribbean retelling of The Little Mermaid. The story follows Timoun, a peasant girl from the poor side of the island, whose dark skin sets her and her people apart from the pale-skinned bourgeoisie on the island's far side. After Timoun saves the life of Daniel, a rich boy from the city, she follows him home to continue to care for him, and the two fall in love. Daniel, however, gives in to societal pressure and turns Timoun away in order to marry Andrea, the daughter of family friends. In her grief and anger, Timoun nearly kills Daniel, but relents at the last minute and is eventually cast out of the house and locked outside of its gates. After witnessing the wedding of Daniel and Andrea, Timoun dies. But the gods of the island take pity on her and turn her into a tree. Her new arms provide cover for Daniel's children to play in, and her roots block the gates of the house so that no one is ever excluded from its riches again. One day, as Daniel's young son sits in the shade of the tree, he notices a beautiful young peasant girl high in its branches looking out at the world. And the spirit of Timoun touches their hearts and sets them free to love. The play ends with the characters telling the audience that this love is why they tell the story of Timoun over and over again. I think the story of Timoun begins to show us what God's reconciliation looks like. For the light of Timoun's love has overcome the darkness, not only of her anger, but of the divide that separates humanity from itself. The reconciliation of God's incarnation, however, goes one step further. It doesn't just show us reconciliation with one another, but with God as well. It reveals to us the very will of God in the person of Jesus, and all through the power of God's love. The mystery of the incarnation that we celebrate through Christmastide is so wonderful that you will sometimes see people kneel or bow when it's mentioned during the Nicene Creed. It is the promise of a new beginning, a new journey for God's people. A journey that we must all prepare for, participate in, and work on together. As Isaiah says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Isaiah's marriage imagery here is no accident. This kind of imagery is used throughout the Bible to indicate not only the intimacy of God's relationship with the people, but the hope that that relationship will bear fruit and promise for the future. What that future is, though, remains undefined. Isaiah's song was written for the people returning from the Babylonian exile, but the land they returned to was not what they had expected. Poverty, destruction, and corruption have made the longed-for homeland an unwelcoming place. Years of hard work lie ahead of them, and though they are grateful to God for their deliverance, they are bitter that it is not as they dreamed it would be. The same is partially true for us here and now. We may be an Easter people living in the joy of the resurrection, but that joy finds its beginnings here at Christmas, with the birth of a vulnerable baby in the midst of poverty and political unrest. The world is not what we hope it will be. The reality of God's promised reconciliation has yet to be realized. And so it is up to us to make sure that the light of our love for all people continues to shine, so that the darkness of anger, hate, and division may never overcome it. For the true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world. Amen.